Remember Beulah, who passed away recently. Just a dear, sweet, sweet lady. She was 96, almost 97. And I believe, I don't know if anybody's found it yet. How long, member here, how long? 50 something, 50 plus? Did we ever find that? We never found that? Okay. A long time. A member of this church, over 50 years, we're pretty sure of that much. This is an example of commitment and devotion to Christ, to the ministry of this local congregation of believers. And the sweetest, one of the sweetest ladies I think I've known. So we had her funeral, and it was nice, but we wanted to remember her here as well. I'm just going to introduce introduce a new series to you today. Title of it's going to be called Family Devotions. Family Devotions. Terry read you a passage of Scripture you're probably very familiar with, about the church, the local church. And as she read, he started out by saying that he was a prisoner for the Lord. He was writing from an arrest situation. He was arrested. He was a prisoner and was ministering and was working through his circumstances. He was serving the Lord as a prisoner for the Lord. As she got down through this passage, he begins to talk about the local church, and you're familiar with this. And when he talks about the apostles and the prophets, they've moved on, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And he says that their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And that's what's on my heart, is to build up this church, the body of Christ, to build up this local church. And so Family Devotions will be a series about this church building itself up. How will we do that? How will we endure, even as the apostle endured as a prisoner, still serving the Lord, but doing the work, there's work of this ministry, and building up the church. It says, so that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So we want to build our church up, and we want to be mature. Pastors and teachers, the learning process is central. We want to build this up to be mature, and the standard, the goal, is the stature of Christ. He is where we get to that, we stop growing. We don't need to go further, but we won't get to that. So we're going to keep growing, and that is our goal. So the local church, growth, to do the work of the ministry, to reach the standard, the example, the stature of Christ. And it says, we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of teaching. There's a lot of teachings out there, and so we're not going to be children about this. We're not going to be moved and blown about by all these teachings out there. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Very similar, but not quite the truth. And listen to this. Instead, I hate to tell you this. I really hate to tell you this. Instead, we will speak. We will speak the truth in love. We're going to have to speak. You're going to have to talk. You're going to talk about your faith. Growing in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. The whole body, this is the point, so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So, We're going to be doing a series called Family Devotions, and we want to model ourselves after that. Don't we? Don't you? Do we? Do we? Do you want to grow? Do you want this church to grow? To leave immaturity behind? To leave behind our confusion over other teachings, things that are really close but not quite the truth? Do you want this body to grow healthy and strong, to do the work of the ministry, to speak our faith in love, to reach and model the stature of Christ? Is that what we want? We have to, right? We have to want that. We have to leave immaturity and grow up into maturity. And we're not tossed about. We know the truth. We get it. We're there. And so we, you know, churches model themselves after that already, right? So we have a toddler room. Amen. We have a toddler room. And then we have like Sunshine Club. Matt, you did a great job this morning. Sunshine Club, right? And then we move up into our youth program. That's developing, but we move up. And then we come in here. And they're all different, right? So, I mean, Matt doesn't teach the way Charlotte teaches the little ones, and I sure don't. And sometimes when our young people come in here, they have a really hard time understanding what I'm saying. So, like, they're in their class, in their area, and each class, each group is designed to mature them. If I come in here and I grabbed up Charlotte's toys and Charlotte's stuff, and I said, "Hey guys, I got a lesson for you today." That wouldn't work, would it? That's not quite the point. You see, we have gone through the ranks. We have matured in how we learn, how we're taught, what we've learned, the depth of it, the importance of it. Everything is kind of a learning, maturing, stair-stepping process. And so we go from high school or middle school, and all of a sudden you're sitting in the adult service. It's different. It feels different. And we're pushing you. We're taking you to another level. Another level of maturity. Another level of learning. Another level of growth. More like Christ. More like Christ. More like Christ. Public school system does the same thing, right? You go from kindergarten to middle school to high school. And it's totally different. There's challenges. My granddaughter said to me the other day, Audrey said, she's now in middle school, and she said, "We don't get recess anymore." No, because we're maturing. We're growing in a mature way. No more recess. And guess what? Classes are going to get harder. When you get into high school or you get into college, there's freedom, but there's a lot of work. There's a lot of study, man. It gets really hard, doesn't it, Debbie? It's a maturing process. It's supposed to get harder. It's supposed to get more challenging. It's supposed to get more deep into us because we're growing to the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. But we've got to do that right. We've got to grow correctly. If you have a bone or something that's broke, that's not right, it will grow, and it will grow in an unhealthy way, and you'll have to go to the doctor and have that repaired or fixed, because there is growth that's not healthy, and we don't want that. We want to grow in a healthy way. So in the book of Acts in particular, we talked about last week, and I need you to know this, that Acts chapter 2 passage where 3,000 were baptized one day, Peter's preaching to the streets full of people, I mean full of people, and he heard the Spirit, and he said, "Hey, this Jesus that you crucified, by the way, he's the Messiah." And they, "Oh no, what do we do?" "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins." And as we move into Acts chapter 2, I need you to know that this is the maternity ward of the church. This is the maternity ward of the church. 3,000 were baptized. That is the absolute birth of the church. How many of you have been in a maternity ward birthing setting? Yeah, I know you have. Men, let's just do that. Men, ever been there? It's really quite an amazing scene. I mean, it's really an amazing thing to watch that life and that child and that baby come out. And it's a mess, no doubt. It's a mess, and there's some real effort and concentration going on in there on all parts, except maybe the dad. He's just trying to stay conscious. And it's an amazing thing to watch this happen. This is where we're at in Acts chapter 2. There were no believers. It were the apostles and whoever came along with Jesus for the few years, but the church hadn't started until the Holy Spirit came. And they heard them speaking in tongues, and they said, "Oh, what is that?" And he said, "It's the Holy Spirit that you've been promised." And then 3,000 are baptized, and the Holy Spirit is now present. It is the birth of the church. It is the maternity ward. Boom, 3,000 on the first day there. One day, 3,000 people. The church is born. And it's a church from all over. It is Jews from other countries that have come for this festival. They're devout Jews, and they've come in. And here's the point. The first church, it was a mega church. The first church was a mega church. 3,000 in one day, and then you read a chapter later, so it's 5,000 all gathered together. It's a mega church. Wow, can you imagine? There were mega churches back then. And they just kept gathering and meeting, and Peter and the apostles kept teaching, and things kept happening, and more. He just added to it every day. It was an amazing thing, but the mega church didn't last for long, did it? There's a guy that comes on the scene really quick named Saul of Tarsus, and we would later know him as the Apostle Paul, and he says, "I'll put a stop to this." And he started after him. He got letters from the government and from the Pharisees. He went after him. And you read the first one about Stephen, the martyr, and Saul was standing there holding the coats. Get him. I'll put a stop to this movement. But do you know what happened? All those people from all those nations around that had believed, 3,000, 5,000, how many thousand, that were baptized, do you know what they did? They went back home. They went back to Asia. They went back to Rome. They went back to the Oriental lands. They went back to Africa. They went back to Cyrene. And they took their faith with them, and they began to build local churches, local congregations back there. And Paul and Peter then began to visit them and to share the gospel even further and to build them up. And so what the devil meant for bad, meant for evil, God said, "No, I'm sending out missionaries back to their homes, to their countries, and we're just going worldwide with the gospel." It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool story. What I want us to do over the next several weeks, really, is to find out in this church what were the building blocks of the healthy church. Certain things happened that were like foundation stones for a healthy church. It would not be easy. It would require certain things. And I want to read one verse today to you, and it'll kind of show you where I'm going. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Family devotions. Local church family devotions. We're going to look in the next weeks ahead at what they devoted themselves to. But today, for today, I just want you to think about this word, devotion. Devotion. And we all need to look in the mirror and just go, "What am I devoted to? What am I devoted to?" What do I keep pushing into? What do I keep enduring into? And that's what the word means. It means I just keep going. I keep my strength, my endurance. The Apostle Paul was in jail, devoted to the local church ministry. That wouldn't stop him. And he just kept pushing and kept going to the local church ministry. We need to ask ourselves, what am I devoted to? We're all devoted to something. We're all devoted to something. Okay, I'm devoted to my kids. All right, good. Devoted to something. These believers, they were devoted to four things mentioned here, right? The apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And they gathered together, and as we read through Acts, we read through these next chapters, they kept congregating and meeting at the temple, the local temple. They would show up there, says, oh, where they were at Solomon's colonnade or Solomon's portico. They went there and they heard Peter preach. And they went to the homes and they broke bread and had the Lord's Supper. There was an hour of prayer, a Jewish hours of prayer, certain prayer hours. They showed up there. They met and prayed together. They fellowshipped. They did life together. They shared. They had common life together. The fellowship, the unity of the local church. That's what, as you read, that's what it's all about. That's what's happening in these first few chapters of Acts. And it says they were devoted to that. They were devoted to that. That's where I have to start. That's where we have to start. Am I devoted to these same pillars to build the local church ministry? That's really hard in today's America. That can be very difficult. We've taken on this notion that I don't have to be devoted to a local church ministry. I don't have to be devoted to these things. I can still be a believer and not be devoted to these things. I have other things, good causes I'm devoted to. And it's true. We just won't build strong churches. And that was Jesus' plan, and it still is his plan. I want my body, the local church, to be strong, to be vibrant, to do the work of the ministry. And I've given you certain men to build you up. I was listening to a higher, big name pastor on the radio last week. And he says, you know that phrase that we're throwing around a lot today where we ask people about their faith and they say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And he said, do you know what they're really saying? I have some spiritual beliefs, but I don't want to go to church. I really don't want to commit to a local church. That's what he's saying. And I agree with that. I'm spiritual. I have my own personal private beliefs and I take care of them at home and I think about it different times, but I'm really not interested in being devoted to the local church ministry. I just don't. There's problems there. There's people there, for crying out loud. There's issues. There's things. It's time commitment. It's a problem for me. But that's what Jesus wanted. That was Jesus' plan. That was the whole purpose, was the local church. He calls it the body of Christ. When one of you hurt, you all hurt. When one of you rejoice, you all rejoice. You're the arm and the leg, and no more than you would sever the body would you sever the local community of believers. I want you to be devoted to one another. I want you to be devoted to the ministry. And the Beulah Cripes are fading fast. Over 50 years to this ministry, she's seen pastors, she's seen problems, she's seen issues, she's seen changes, she'd seen one knucklehead young pastor come in here and turn the place upside down, and she was like clockwork right there. She was devoted. Apostle Paul was devoted. He would minister even in jail. And I would say to you that we need to model devotion, not just for the local church, for marriages, for families. We need to model devotion that, you know what, when the marriage starts out strong, and you know what, I do enough marriage counseling, I deal with enough marriages that are, they started out here and they decided, okay, well, this is how I like to do life and this is how I like to do life, and it's a pretty good arrangement for both of us right here, and 10 years down the road, we're right here, and 15, 20 years down the road, we're right here, and then it's over. And it started with the devotion here to one another, to the common cause, to one another. And they allowed themselves to separate here in what seemed like an amicable agreement. But it grows. You're growing. And marriages that look healthy in the first 10, 15 years in 30 are done and over. Because they didn't know devotion to one another. Getting through the problems, through the issues. How are we going to teach our kids how to survive at work? You got to grow up through the ranks here. You got to do the struggles here. You got to fight the battles here. And we should teach them this devotion. Because I got to tell you this. I know for all of you that doesn't work this way. But listen, there are jobs out there that are kind of unpleasant to do. There are factories and jobs and offices where you go out to work and you really struggle with it. Some of you love your job. Some of you absolutely love your job. But there are people who actually don't. There are people who actually go to work and people give them a little bit of a hard time about their faith. There are people that go to work and people are cutthroat and want to cut them out of their job. I want to take your job. I want to make you look bad. You're going to be devoted to that? Beulah used to work right there at the Goshen News, and she'd walk from the corner in her little house over there and walk up here every day. I don't know how many years she worked there. 1,000. Devotion. Devotion. Man, our kids and our family and our communities need to see a model of devotion to our organization, to the body of Christ. They need us to, if nothing else, they need to see what devotion looks like through the hard and through the good. Quit the migration. I don't have to tell you this. That there are families migrating from the next greatest church to the next greatest ministry to the next, following their youth, following their high schooler, following their middle schooler who goes to this youth group or this middle school group. And it's fun and it's the greatest thing until their friends get mad, or for some reason they get mad. They don't like that teacher no more. And my friends are going to that church. And so we go to that church now because my kids wanted to go to that church. And the parents never get to lock in. And there's this massive migration going on in America that lacks devotion to a local church ministry. And so people easily say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. I don't know how to fight the battle. I don't know how to work through the hard stuff in the local church ministry. So I move on. I go to the next one. If you've read your Bible at all, that was not the climate of the New Testament church. It wasn't the climate in Acts. It wasn't the climate in the rest of the book. John wrote Revelation from an island where he was a prisoner. The Word of God goes out. The Word of God is effective. The ministry of Christ is effective through the struggles and through the easy part. Has anybody here ever had a hammer drill and you've tried to drill into cement? You ever tried that? How easy is that? If you get a good hammer, drill, and sharp bit, you can go through there, but it doesn't take long. You're just leaning, pushing, pushing, pushing. Not... steel's the same way. I mean, trying to drill through steel, and you make this little tiny thing, and it's just like, okay, come on. And you just keep pushing, 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 pushing. Sometimes it feels that way. Sometimes it feels that way. Local church sometimes feels like you're drilling into cement. Sometimes it feels like I'm not getting anywhere, but I'm expending a lot of energy. I like a good tug of war. I like to watch a good tug of war. These people are just like, and there's water in the middle. And they just keep pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling. And they're leaning into it until they finally can get somebody across that line. It takes devotion. It takes devotion. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes stick-to-itiveness. That is the word devotion. I just keep pressing into certain things of the local church ministry. There are pillars and foundations that you and I have to be, we have to say, we have to do devotion. I'm committed. I am devoted to. And this is what causes growth. This is what causes growth. At the first sign of trouble, at the first sign of struggle, if you're ready to bail, you will not grow. The whole point when I raised, let's just take Amanda for example. Can I use you for a guinea pig? Here's the point. She's got one on her lap. Right behind her sits my granddaughters, and they're a little bit big to do that. Here's the point, right? Here's Jade here. I watched her in the band yesterday, man. She was moving on down. Our other granddaughter was in the band. Here's the point. If we want them to get from there to there to there to Pat Reiner behind them, we have to know, we have to be devoted to certain things to get them there. There are certain principles. When she brought her babies home, she said they have to be fed, they have to have health care, they have to have love, they're going to need education. Because they're going to go from there to there to there to there, and the real point is someday they're going to move out of here and get married and reduplicate and function on their own. And you know as well as I do, when they don't, they end up living in mom and dad's basement at 35 playing video games. When the devotion to certain things fails, we raise a bunch of big babies, dependent babies. That can't be the church. That can't be the church. Every bit as I want my grandkids to grow, every bit as they want Jade to grow and to just be an amazing young adult, maybe with a family of their own, leading this country to greater things, we have to have that devotion to the local church, to the body of Christ, to our Savior, because that's His plan. I want you to grow, not be immature. To be mature, to grow into the stature of Christ, to do work of the ministry, to speak the truth in love. If we find a young adult who can't speak, they're so timid and they are so shy and they are so backwards that they just can't even talk in public, we call them disabled. We send them to a good counseling program. We got to grow. If this is the plan, if this is the Savior's body, shouldn't we be devoted to the local church ministry? Not perfect. It's not perfect. But devoted to the growth of it. We're baptizing 6 people today. That's good. That's good. That's growth. But we're committed to their growth. We're committed to certain pillars of their growth. so that they will do the work, speak the talk, in love, reduplicate. Well, out on their own, functioning Christians, able at work, at school, wherever, to share their faith in love, devoted to the body of Christ here, the local church ministry. It's God's plan. It's Jesus' plan. It's what we got to do. That's what this series is about, family devotions. I told our 6 baptizees, nobody's expecting you to be perfect after today. You just don't excuse sin, and you keep growing. You keep growing. You keep pushing forward. Keep going. That's all we can ask. Nobody's perfect. Just don't excuse your sin and keep growing. Keep moving forward. The Holy Spirit's with you. That's where we're going in the next several weeks. I'm going to lay out these seemingly pillars, these ideas. This is how we're going to grow strong. This is how we're going to push through hard times. This is how we're going to show our kids and our families devotion so that in their marriage, in their workplace, it will reflect there as well. But in the local church, we will actually be a thriving, multiplying, strong local church, not blown around by every little wind of doctrine that's close to the truth, but not quite. And we will multiply and win. And God will be pleased to add to our church daily those who are saved. That's where we're going. We're going to look in the mirror today, and we're going to ask ourselves, am I devoted to Jesus' plan? Jesus' plan for the local church. He called my body, my bride. It's a beautiful thing. I hope you come. I hope you come. I hope you come and get involved. Let's do away with that I'm spiritual but not religious thing. I'm spiritual but I don't affiliate with the church. Come on, man, that's a cop-out. That's I want to stay home and do what I want to do on Sunday morning and have my own kind of creative belief in God or whatever. That's baloney. Let's do this. Let's really, 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 let's take this little tiny church and really be that kind of church right there. What do you say? Just try it. Let's just try it and see what happens. Let's just do it His way and see if we don't have the power of the Creator in the universe working through this little body of believers. I'd say it's worth it, worth the effort. Let's try it. Let's see what happens. You with me?
Yes.
Your Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, teach us. In the weeks ahead, show us what You need us to show. We're all different. We're all different. We're all at different places, Lord. So we're going to need You to show us in Your Word, to speak into our heart, to show us what You need us to know, to truly be Your body, to be devoted to You in Your way. Lord, I can't do it. I can't teach it good enough. I can't teach it accurate enough. I don't have it, the power within me. You're the only one that does. So I'm asking You now. We want to, our hearts collectively say yes. We want to be a New Testament church. Church of your Bible, of Your Word, of Peter's teachings, Paul's teaching. So Lord, help us. Lead us. Do that for us. Lord, I'm asking You to be with us. Make us Your body, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody got any last minute instructions for the picnic? What time does it start?
1:00.
1:00. We'll see you at Milford at 1:00. We have a closing song. Yes. Hang in there 1 minute.